piece published, it appears in the New York Times this morning, and it's about the Tea Party branch's ties to an Indonesian paper company and how it could be a sign of a number of things. Perhaps the political maturity of the Tea Party. Perhaps, as we said before, blurring that line between corporation and grassroots organization. Joining us right now is Mike McIntyre, investigative reporter for our partner, the New York Times. And Mike, this is kind of a complicated story. So I'm hoping you can kind of explain it to us so we can understand very simply what's happening here.
Yeah, sure. There's long been a sort of a symbiotic relationship between nonprofit advocacy groups and corporate lobbyists in Washington. What makes this a little different is the fact that the group that we're writing about is a Tea Party organization. And secondly, the campaign they've chosen to pursue is very narrowly focused, and the main beneficiary seems to be, as you indicated, this foreign conglomerate. It's a Indonesian paper company that last year was fighting a proposed tariff that the United States was considering putting on its imports of paper into the U.S. from Indonesia and China. And they've also been under attack from environmental groups who don't like their logging practices and labor unions in the United States who represent U.S. paper workers. And so, this company has long been under siege from these various groups and have been fighting back against it. And out of the blue, in the middle of all that, this particular organization in Washington, the Institute for Liberty, which is affiliated with the Tea Party, essentially joins the effort. It started pursuing an agenda that was almost identical to Asia Pulp and Paper. Put up websites, published reports, started getting columns published in very interesting ways, because they were essentially were hewing to the same themes and same issues that were important to this foreign company, and that they were kind of wrapping the arguments in a Tea Party friendly way by referring to issues dealing with the potential prices of paper to be used in children's books, and the potential impact on paper prices and how it would affect the cost of fried chicken buckets you buy at the restaurant. So
don't allow the government to interfere with what you pay for it at KFC, right? But I mean, it seems to me that to one extent, this is an issue of perhaps the influence of Citizens United, or going back maybe even further, nonprofit companies that aren't necessarily what they seem to be.
Yeah, and I think Citizens United hasn't necessarily impacted that phenomenon all that much, because you have these tax exempt groups that have long done this. There's always been this nexus between these types of organizations and big business, wherein a nonprofit group will essentially hold itself out as sort of a receptacle of money from a business interest, and they take the money and go out and launch a project that is supposed to look like a grassroots initiative, but essentially it's just another organ of a corporate lobbying campaign. So you've had that, and that hasn't really been affected by Citizens United. But what makes this sort of interesting is that the Tea Party, which you would think does have as much of a skepticism of big business as big government, has nevertheless become part of this equation. And there are business interests that have managed to infuse their agenda into the movement's rhetoric. Net neutrality is an obvious issue.
Well, Mike McIntyre, you're an investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times, where investigative long-form journalism is alive and well, we are thrilled to say. Mike, this seems, what's fascinating about this story is that it's old style, old school, Washington-based snake oil, where the newbies come to town and the K Street gang just loves to put their arms around them, warmly embrace them, bring them into a kind of a network of important stuff that we're getting done. And it turns out that it's the Indonesian government that's behind the whole thing. Is this a story of the lobbyists love it when anti-Washington newbies come to town?
Well, it's funny. First of all, I have to say, I don't know whether the Indonesian government is involved in this
particular issue.
But you do have some interesting ties to this particular Indonesian company. But, to some extent, this same phenomenon exists on the political left. You have organized labor that will use, patriotic or benign-sounding front groups to also push a union agenda. I think you tend to see it more often on the right, because you do have the support of big business on that side of the partisan aisle. And so there are natural overlaps there between the Tea Party and conservatives in the business community. Low taxes, less regulation, distrust of big government. So in that sense, it's not a big surprise that you would you would see, you know, some common themes there. But, yeah, I mean, there is this whole sort of, subgroup of the Washington influence industry that specialize in doing what are called AstroTurf campaigns, you know, which are essentially fake grassroots efforts, largely paid for by special interests. And, you know, that exists on both sides of the political aisle, but I think now we're seeing some of that in the Tea Party realm.
So what makes this new? Is it the Tea Party entrance into it? I mean, as you say, there's oftentimes when corporate lobbies or other lobbies, they could be environmental lobbies, on any part of the political spectrum, when they see a passion among a community for a particular organization, they often piggyback on board. They jump on the wagon. So what makes this part new?
Well, I think one of the things that was fairly striking about this particular example that we talked about here was the fact that the main beneficiary of what this Tea Party group is doing seems to be a foreign company. That is something which I haven't seen before. And now, whether or not that indicates that there's, you know, they're sort of trying to branch out beyond the borders to take in new issues, who knows? But it does seem to indicate one thing, that at least in this particular case, this group, the Institute for Liberty, is interested in adopting free trade as an issue and trying to inject that into the Tea Party movement bloodstream. That has not been an issue that the Tea Party movement has particularly been focused on. There's a lot of distrust within the movement about, you know, that issue, whether or not it's doesn't necessarily isn't good for American jobs and that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they gain any traction by trying to push that as they have with other issues in the past, like net neutrality and Obamacare.
Okay, so Mike, give me the brief guide here. If I want to donate to a group with whose ideas I agree, how do I make sure it's not backed by a foreign company?
Well, it's tough. I mean, there's no disclosure right now required for groups like this to explain where they get their money from, and so that's something which is another issue, which I think will only be remedied if Congress decides to take it up.
All right, that's Mike McIntyre, an investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much. That article appears in the front page of The New York Times today.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.